doesn't fail. It works. Violence usually works. That's world history. Secondly, it's a very serious analytic error to say, as is commonly done, that terrorism is a weapon of the weak. Like other means of violence, it's primarily a weapon of the strong. Overwhelmingly, in fact. It is held to be a weapon of the weak because the strong also control the doctrinal systems, and their terror doesn't count as terror. That's close to universal. I can't think of an exception. Historical exception, even the worst mass murderers viewed the world that way. So take the Nazis. They weren't carrying out terror in occupied Europe. They were protecting the population from the terrorism of the partisans. And like other resistance movements, there was terrorism. Now, the Nazis were carrying out counter-terror. Furthermore, the United States essentially agreed to that. After the war, the U.S. Army did extensive studies of Nazi counter-terror operations in Europe. First, I should say that the U.S. picked them up and began carrying them out itself, often against the same targets, the former resistance. But the military also studied the Nazi methods, published interesting studies, sometimes critical of them because they were inefficiently carried out. So it was a critical analysis of, you know, do this right and do that right. But those methods, with the advice of the Wehrmacht officers who were brought over here, became the manuals of counterinsurgency, of counterterror, of low-intensity conflict, as it's called, and are the manuals and are the procedures that are being used. So it's not just that the Nazis did it, it's that it was regarded as the right thing to do by the leaders of Western civilization, that is us, who then proceeded to do it themselves. Terrorism is not the weapon of the weak. It is the weapon of those who are against us, whoever us happens to be. And if you can find a historical exception to that, I'd be interested in seeing it.